Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. Finding and hiring the right people, while it sounds easy, is really very difficult. Many internal teams just don't really do a good job when it comes to hiring, in many cases, primarily because they just don't have the experience. Have you ever hired a senior executive only to have them quit or have them leave and ultimately leave you in a lurch? I have. Unfortunately, I have. And that's why I'm excited to have Josh Walters, president of AdMerge, in the studio today. Welcome, Josh.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here.
Thanks. I think it's going to be really exciting, an insightful conversation. I find when we start talking about hiring and people, it really resonates with the audience. Obviously, this is a challenge that we all have. And so I'm really looking forward to talking about this and finding the right people and making sure that we have those people to support us as we go forward. So why don't we take a moment before we get things going and take a few minutes, talk about your business, who you are, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, thank you. So my company's AdMerge. We're a boutique firm that really works with business owners and leaders and helping them kind of understand the roles that their employees are supposed to play and help them find and manage the right people. I mean, you said, what if they hire a senior executive and they leave or they have to fire them? What if they don't leave? What if they stay and don't perform, right? So, you know, it's not just finding the right person. It's making sure that they perform, that we can get the most out of them, that they do stick and engage and are not looking, because most people take a job and are looking. So, ultimately, at the end of the day, is how do we help business owners and leaders understand their people, get the most out of them, and frankly, enjoy having employees versus being a chore. We both own businesses, and hiring employees is great. Managing them can be a pain, and we don't want that. That shouldn't be the environment that we have. So that's kind of my objective is how do we enjoy having employees and getting more out of them.
And I think we're going to talk about this more, but I think you hit on it is this process that I have found over the years that in most situations, especially in small to medium sized businesses, they're just not equipped. They haven't done it enough and they don't really understand the process. I literally worked for a company one time and I was found myself always in the interviewing sessions, and I was interviewing IT people and HR people and marketing people, which I should be, and then I would find that the leadership of the company would walk in and they'd be looking at the resume where they're walking through the door, and there's just no way they're going to have a real confident and structured interview, yeah. And so it was always very confusing, but I found that more often than not.
Right. Well, when you interview somebody, all you have is who walks in the door and their resume. And so you have the perception of what they wear, how they communicate, what you see, and then perceptions you make about the resume. But that's what you see. And so you can prep more by doing, some investigation. Look at their LinkedIn. Look at their background. Those are all good. And it's more data than you had than if you just started before the interview. But ultimately, you're still looking at outward perceptions. And so you're not getting any real under the kimono peaks. You're not getting any real detail of the person.
Right. There was a situation where I was being considered for a fractional chief marketing officer job. And I started to tell you this story, then I ended up as chief strategy officer. But the CEO called me and said, I have a meeting with my agency in a couple days. Would you be willing to come to the meeting? And so I went to the meeting and I was sitting there thinking to myself, I'm not sure how much they want me to participate. And being a marketing guy and thinking to myself, I can't keep quiet. And so I started participating. And it was an 8-hour, as she put it, ended up being an 8-hour interview in the way she looked at me because she got to see who I really was.
Right.
And
right.
After that, she made that mandatory for all future senior executives that they had to spend a day in an environment with their clients and things like that.
Right. And I mean, you hear stories about executives at, some of the Amazon leaders, Bezos and so forth, like what are the things that they do? And part of it is getting the person outside the environment. And I love having a drink or a glass of wine with a candidate that I'm trying to place. I want to know who they are. I want to know how they treat the bartender. How do they treat people around them? Are they going to hold the door naturally or are they going to do it out of respect because they feel like I'm going to give them a job? Like you can see that in people's attitude. Mm-hmm. Like those are all things you're looking for. But again, those are still perceptions. And in an interview, you get the best. Like, that's the best the person's ever going to be. Without any understanding of the company and only maybe a little bit of insight about perhaps what they can look at online, that's the best you're going to see of that employee. So if you don't like that, you know, there's some issues going on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's a great observation. I mean, I think that you're absolutely right. I mean, how do they treat people is a small indication of how they're going to really act within the organization.
Yep.
So before we get started, I usually ask a few questions. The first one is, what is the best business advice you've ever received and or given, if it's different?
I think the best advice I've ever received was something that wasn't given directly to me. I kept on hearing someone say it over and over,
okay.
And it stayed with me for the past few years. And that was, you have to unlearn what you know to be able to relearn. And so often we walk into things with a perception of, I know this, or maybe I'm just too confident or cocky. But ultimately, sometimes we walk into situations and we say, I know this, or I know the solution. And in reality, if we want to apply kind of all that we are in our knowledge, we've got to take a step back, unlearn what we've know, mm-hmm. and start with a zero basis so that we can then make a proper assessment, assess all the data that's there, and make recommendations. And I see that in my work. I mean, I'm sure you see it in your work too. Mm-hmm. If you walk in and say, I know the solution, you're probably going to give a solution that doesn't fit or is inappropriate.
Right.
So I think that's probably the best advice that I've really been given. Another question was, best advice that I give?
That you give.
What do you want to hear?
If it's different.
I think...
your top 10 list.
You know, I think, you know, the best advice I can give to anyone is just care about your work. I mean, if you don't care, if you can't really care enough that you're emotionally and fully engaged, you're not going to give your best. You know, just if it's something that doesn't engage with you, don't do it.
Okay.
I mean, there's obviously things you have to push through, but you got to be emotionally engaged in your work.
Okay. When it comes to growing your business, what keeps you up at night?
My four little kids. Okay. No, I think, you know, what keeps me up at night, I sleep well. I've built a healthy little business that I know the quality of our work. I know what we're doing. My objectives are to be smart. I want to, I'm at a position in time in my life where my focus is my family. But obviously, I need to provide for them. So it's a balance of building a healthy business, taking care of my team that's there, and just being smart.
Okay.
What I walked into my business with as far as a perception is not what I'm doing now. I've retargeted and refocused, and I've learned from my clients, I've learned from my peers, my friends, and that's helped me a lot to retarget, refocus, and make good decisions.
Well, I think that's, as a business owner, we've discovered whatever our preconceived idea is when we walked in and started this business, that road turned really fast and a lot of hills and twists and turns, and if you don't pivot with it, you're dead on arrival.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So let's continue this a little bit more. So your journey as a business owner, entrepreneur, if it was a book, what would the title be?
We're Different. I think I insulted someone once. It was a business coach, and I initially, I think I insulted him when I said this, but I said, you're different, you're strange. And I said, it's a good strange. One of the things that I've always been in life is a little different. I don't mind bending rules, breaking rules. My approach to most things is different. My approach has usually been, let me find a different way to do this. It's not about hacking. It's just, let me find the smart way to do this. So I think We're Strange or We're Different would mm-hmm. be the title.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Let's talk a little bit about then. It's, you know, I've had PR people, talent acquisition. I've been involved in that. This chief strategy officer job I was telling you about, part of my job ended up being actually running HR and talent acquisition, which is something I'd never really done before. And it was just really interesting to see the dynamics within that group and thinking about the hiring process and things like that, looking at job descriptions and interviewing techniques. But what I found when we had the opportunity to talk was your approach to identifying the right employees. So I really want to take that into the next step, because you have a statement on your website, and it says your approach, which is part data-driven and scientific, yet people-centric.
Yeah.
So let's kind of, I'm going to turn this over to you for a few minutes. Let's talk a little bit about your approach and finding the right and hiring the right people.
Right. So I think it starts with understanding the role in the first place. The role is not a job description, right? The role is not what you put on a piece of paper. It's,
well, too many times, though, it is, right?
It almost always starts that way. And a lot of times when I'm meeting with a client and I'm brought in because they want to find a key person, I get the resume and I put it aside. And frankly, I care – I mean, not the resume, the job description. I care about it because it's obviously their perception of the role. But I want to dumb it down and get really, really simple and say, why does the position exist and what is the measurement of success? And I feel like we don't normally think of our positions in that way. If I'm searching for a CFO, what is the reason I need a CFO? Is it because there's a place in the org chart, or is it because I actually need a function for someone who is strategic, understands finance, accounting, and can give me advice about future? Like, that's why I need a CFO. It's not because there's a role in the org chart. So we have to dumb it down a bit and understand why it exists. And then two, how do we measure that person's success? If we haven't figured that out, you're setting the person up for failure, or at least you're setting them up to hit a moving target. And that's what I guess I am concerned about a lot of times. So that's the initial part. And so that's the people focus initially on, why does this position exist in your company? And it's not about, what is this role in another company? What is it in your company?
Okay.
A lot of the clients I work with aren't huge. You know, they're 50 to several hundred employees. Roles don't always have the same thing. Like, a salesperson is not a salesperson. It's not a salesperson. It changes in every environment. And the same goes with almost every other role. So my approach is, let's define the role really well. Let's define why it exists. And then from there, let's actually create the benchmark for what's ideal. Like, what do I have to have in that position? What do they have to do? And most companies can figure that piece out on their own. What I usually basically handhold them through, and essentially in the end I want to educate them on, is, how do we look at the behaviors of that role? Like, is this a role of compliance? And if so, what's the behavior behind compliance? Is it creating structure, or is it following structure? Like, those are two different things. Mm-hmm. Most people don't do well at both. They usually do really well at one or the two. And the other one, they either have to fake it or they need help doing it. So if I need someone to be in a compliance role, what is that role really doing? Are they creating compliance, or are they following it? If you're managing people, do I need someone that is actually going to inspire people, or do we need someone that can step into someone's shoes and you're not getting it done, let me help out, or do I need to inspire someone to get the job done?
Okay. So really then your first step is to evaluate the real need within the organization. So if I'm talking to my audience today, lesson number one is to really define what that position, not the job, but the position really needs to accomplish.
Right, right.
Okay. Now, let's take it a little bit further, because I'm always conscious of time, because these things go by really fast, is the scientific part. Now, you had me go through some of it, and I got to see, how my criteria kind of laid out and the kind of person I am and the way I would react to certain situations. So let's dig into that a little bit more, because that's the part I find with the need and what you need to accomplish. And now we take it scientifically, because that's the part that I feel that we always go on our gut.
Right.
And you kind of take it away from, as I always say, let's get out of the boardroom. Just quit talking to yourself. Let's go talk to the customer.
Right.
In this situation, you're kind of doing the same thing.
So you're perfect. Like, Angelo, you are perfect.
I thank you. I know I am. Yep. I love it.
And you're perfect until we put you in context, right? You're perfect has what you are. The minute we put you in context of being a husband, you're imperfect, right? You have gaps. Mm-hmm. You have areas where you're not the perfect husband.
You're talking to my wife again?
We had a conversation. In your role as a fractional marketing officer, right? That's a really key role. You're perfect until we put you in context of something else. The same thing with people, right? If we don't know the context of who they are. So our approach, and you took the predictive index, it's one of our key tools that we use. It's a 5-minute behavioral assessment, and it allows us to get a true look under the kimono, really what's happening behind the person. So what drives them, what motivates them, what is their makeup of their character? We're not measuring, you know, their skills. I mean, I care about skills. I'm not measuring what they learn. I care about what they can learn. But those are all cognitive things. And we can assess that separately. What I'm focused on is, who is the person? Like, what is their natural DNA? So our approach, and in our assessment even, we get a report back and we have 3 graphs. And so the top one is the natural DNA of the person. Like, who are they? And so we know who they've probably been for most of their life. The second is kind of their environment. You know, what is pushing, pulling them, or driving them in a different direction? And then the last piece is basically who shows up in an interview. And so if I'm doing that, if I'm looking at the person from those three perspectives, I need to know who's going to show up on day 91. Like that's significant. Mm-hmm. Because you can be perfect as you are. I put you in context of the role. Now I've got a problem. And there's a lot of great assessment tools out there. But usually what it is, it's a report. It's not results. And so our objective is to create the target. So we do that first. We create the why the position exists, the behaviors behind it. And then we compare the person to it. And it's not that the person is either, most people are not ideal. But if they're going to have a gap, and in this market, we need to accept some gaps, let's understand what the gap is. Let's know in advance. Because we don't manage outcomes. If you are, you're too late. We're managing behavior of the person. And that's where the secret sauce is. If we can teach people how to understand individuals and manage the person to who they are, they're going to kill it.
So how do you take the kind of the position and what it's supposed to be doing and create kind of that visual map I saw what you did for me, mm-hmm. but we didn't technically lay it over any specific position. So how do you create that piece?
So in our kind of software platform, we create that benchmark. So through a set of questions, behaviors of the job, and it's really simple. It's almost disgusting how simple it is. Okay. But we're checking boxes to understand, does this person need to manage other people? Okay. Do they need to inspire them? Does this person need to create rules? Does this person need to sit in one place for a long period of time? Do they need to do repetitive tasks? Ultimately, I'm taking all the outcome behaviors and I'm reversing it. So we create the target. And now we know contextually how the person fits against that role. So that's the benchmark. It's silly how easy it is, but ultimately we've got a data-driven approach to who the person is in the role ideally, and then we compare every candidate, as opposed to waiting to the very end and saying, before I hire you, I want to see your assessment. Nonsense. I want to see every single applicant. Because in this environment where you have skinny resumes, you have a lot of people who are leaving companies quickly, and you got a lot of young professionals in the environment, they don't have the experience. So I need to know, first of all, not can they do the job? That's a skill and cognitive piece. I want to know, will they do the job, and will they do it for a long period of time?
Okay. And so this idea of repeatable and scientifically validated, because of this process, it is very – because it is a repeatable process. So everybody is apples to apples versus – in most interview situations, it's apples, it's oranges, depending on I had a bad morning, I didn't drink enough coffee, or whatever it happens to be, right? Puts all that on a level playing field.
I want to get rid of the I thinks and I feels. Okay. When you meet a candidate or you have an employee that you've inherited because you've come into a company, I want to get rid of the I think or I feel this person is this or that. I'd like it to be this person is or is not.
Okay. All right. So you've been doing this now for several years. Let's give me a story. Give me a positive story, an example of the implementation of this program.
I've got several that are fun, but ultimately one that's recent, and I just appreciate because it's a close friend of mine. She turned to me and trusted and said, listen, I've tried to fill this role several times, and maybe I'm not doing it right. And so it's a project management and creative agency, so something you can speak to. Mm-hmm. And we tried to dumb it down a bit, and she's looking for a project manager, and typically that's someone who – manages projects. In her company, a project manager functions differently. A project manager is basically client-facing. Well, that's not all project managers.
No, not at all.
Right?
And not so, my agency.
Right, but and this is her environment. So now we're looking at the context of her company. I'm coaching her through the process of making the right decision about that individual and knowing that if you're going to bring this person in, and this person, frankly, is really sharp, has a good background, and fits really well, but let's know what you need to manage. You need to manage the behavior of it. And so I've given her the tools, and while this person's a fantastic business leader and been very successful, this is an area that's been a plague for her. And we've solved that. We've made it really easy to make a decision and now know how to manage the person coming in. But my approach is really not to handhold. My approach is to understand that my clients know their business better than me. I'm smart, but I don't know their business. Mm-hmm. My objective is to teach them how to understand people and how to use the data from our platform to manage their people and get the best results.
Okay. Give me an example when it didn't work.
I've had some people that will make a decision based upon the data only, and they're leaving out the entire skill piece of it. So what I don't want to do is replace their approach. What I want to do is augment it. Because if you're just using a resume, first of all, there's some fabricated material. But what I want to do is make sure that we understand the skills still matter. Background experience, those still matter. But ultimately, I want to make it a more predictable result so that we're taking as much risk out of it. We're making a hiring decision or even a management decision.
Okay. All right. So one of the things on your website, and I'm getting flash fingers over here. See, it's already coming to an end.
Crazy.
You also, besides the tools and services, you also have a place on your website that talks about interim placements. And, of course,
correct,
that's near and dear to my heart because that's what I am, an interim fractional person. So how does the shape of your business really, for where do you spend your majority of your time? Because we've known each other for 6 months now or something
right,
like that. And I know at one point in time you talked about it, but you really spend most of your time over here.
Yeah, my time is spent where the problem and need is at, right? When I'm usually brought in and referred to my clients by another advisor, or they hear me, a speaker present somewhere. They come to me with an issue, and I'm looking at, if I've got three tools, either these three solutions fit it or they don't. And so the fractional role, I think, is really critical. I have a fractional business where I place executives into organizations for either part of a transaction, because I do a lot of M&A work. But a lot of times it's, if there's a need, let's fill it with fractional if that makes sense. Let's bring in the right resources now. Actually, good example. So one of my clients that I'm working with right now, we were looking for head of operations. And they said, this is someone that needs to design processes and then manage the processes to completion. And I'm like, great. How much process design are they doing? Well, only until we get it right. I'm like, okay. So let's divide this position a little bit. Let's only take the part that matters, right? The part that matters is managing the process to completion. And let's bring in a proper resource as a fractional individual to design processes. So that's what I brought into the client. I've given them a great resource to help them with process design and documenting the processes. I've brought in a really awesome rock star who's going to run operations and basically drive the things home. So it's a cool marrying of the two. Ultimately, I've created a little ecosystem that feeds each other. That's not the intent. The intent is really to solve problems and have some other resources beyond just my expertise and my tools.
Okay. So it's just another resource tool to, based on where the client is and their needs and wants. And
right,
you're the supplier. So last question. You know, we've covered a bunch of different topics, and again, this flew by, very interesting, and I encourage everybody to go to your website, and we're going to give them that information in a second. But obviously, the concept of my show is about business growth and small businesses and medium-sized businesses growing.
Right.
So what are two suggestions can you make that you would give to the audience about helping to make sure they stay on the right road, the straight road to business success?
Have a plan and don't be afraid to revise it. Right, so have some objectives you're chasing and a way to get there. And then two, a lot of business owners, they fail to network. I think you need to have a network. You need to have some exposure to people who can tell you you're wrong, some people who can encourage you. I've benefited immensely from having a network that is very strong. Sometimes they call me out and correct me because they're friends and they care about me. And other times, you know, I'm finding resources or opportunities that I can either give or help, and that's been invaluable.
All right, well, fantastic. Well, as I predicted, it has come to an end already. So, Josh, why don't you tell the listeners how they can reach you, your website, your email, your LinkedIn, all those wonderful things.
Yeah, I'm active on LinkedIn, Joshua Walters on LinkedIn. And my website is at Merge, ADMERGE.com. That's the best way to reach me. And we're based in Southern California, although we've got team spread out throughout the U.S. and Israel.
All right. Well, fantastic. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you being on the show and really giving a lot of great information to the audience. Thank you for joining us at the cafe today. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, view my show videos, including this one, on my website, or you can sign up to receive additional information on a regular basis. If your business is ready for growth and you need a CMO, but you're not quite ready to hire a full-time person yet, connect with me. I'd welcome the opportunity to explore the benefits of using a fractional CMO. Lastly, please subscribe to the show. And if you are a subscriber, I encourage you to have all your friends and family subscribe as well. You can go to thebusinessgrowthcafe.com, or we are on any major podcast platform today, tomorrow, and next year. And speaking of the year, today, ladies and gentlemen, is my 1 year anniversary of this show. I am so excited and to have you, Josh.
Hey, my pleasure.
They got the audience clapping. Thank you very much. So again, yeah, I meant to mention that real earlier, but yeah, 1 year ago today, we started this show and it's been going really well. Thank you to all of you listeners out there and subscribers. And here's to the next year. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.